4:11, 4:9. Here we have Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan is a Tana, not especially a lot is known about him in his personal life, his biography. He did live in the second century of the Common Era, at the time of the Hadrianic persecutions, and he left Eretz Yisrael to escape those persecutions, but he ended up coming back to Eretz Yisrael because of his love for the land. So, now, he says, Kol ha-makayim es ha-Torah ma'oni, anyone who upholds the Torah ma'oni, I'll translate it here, in a state of poverty, or perhaps because of a state of poverty, sofo l'kayim ma'osher, in the end, he will be able to fulfill the Torah and keep it in a state of wealth. V'chol ha-mavatel es ha-Torah ma'osher, anyone who ends up not fulfilling the Torah, either because of or within a state of wealth, because of his wealth, so falavatla ma'oni, in the end he will not even have the wealth, he'll end up being mevatelet in a state of poverty. So the basic center of the mission is pretty straightforward, and it's largely based on a pasuk from the Torah. The Torah has a pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, in the Tochacha, in the famous Tochacha rebuke, and there's a probably the best known line of that segment of the Torah. Tachas asher lo avarates Hashem Elokecha besimcha v'tuv levav merov kol. Since you didn't serve Hashem besimcha with joy v'tuv levav and with a happy heart, a joyous heart merov kol, while you had everything you could possibly need. So then v'avarate es oivecha, you'll then be forced to serve your enemies. And the pasuk goes on to say that in Memches b'ra'av uv'tzama uv'eirom uv'choser kol. You'll end up serving your enemies, and you'll be in hunger and thirst and without clothing and lacking everything. So that is part of Tochacha, and that's obviously terrifying. But the point is, the pasuk saying, if you don't serve Hashem when you have the wherewithal to do so, then and rejoice in your service of Hashem, so then mida keneged mida, you'll lose that. That's the basic gist of our mission. I just want to say a few things that are that add to this, I think. The first thing is, it doesn't, when it says mikayem, that doesn't necessarily mean to learn Torah, okay? There are those who learn mikayem means learning Torah, and the Rambam, for example, in Perish Mishnah is explicitly talking about learning Torah, so it'd be anyone who learns Torah in a situation of poverty, he will ultimately be relieved of that poverty and continue to learn Torah, not in poverty, okay? But mikayem could mean to uphold, like meaning doing mitzvahs. Mikayem could mean to support, as in supporting, you know, yeshivas. So, excuse me. So there's some latitude there. Now, I want to point out there's a diyuk to be made in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the first parak halacha ches, says that every Jewish man has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and then he says whether he is poor or even if he's rich. Okay, because the Rambam understands that while there's two reasons a person could end up having a hard time learning Torah from his financial situation. He could be poor and therefore, you know, he's distracted by the needs to sort of support himself, or he could be wealthy and be distracted by all like the involvement he has with his business affairs. So it seems from the Rambam that the bigger challenge, the more difficult situation is the wealth, not the poverty. That one who has, you know, complicated business affairs will be distracted with those and have less time to study. And although it may seem counterintuitive, I don't think it's just a cute shot in the Rambam or a diuk in the Rambam. That's not true. I'm sure if you take just a sociological survey of the people there in Muncie or the people there in Bnei Brak, and you take a survey of those people who are living in poverty, and you take a survey of those people who are very wealthy, I think you'll find that people who are living in poverty actually put in more hours at the Talmud Torah than those who are living, who are very wealthy. So this is a real fact. And that's what that's an important point of the Rambam is bringing out there in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Now, if you'll ask, wait a second, if being rich is such a problem, why would we reward a poor person by being rich? So I think the answer is that when we say that the person who fulfills the Torah, upholds the Torah, learns the Torah, in me'oni, in poverty, will ultimately do so in with wealth, I don't think it means he's going to become a millionaire. It just means he will be relieved of the challenges that get in the way of Talmud Torah for someone who's very poor. I don't think it means he'll be rich. It just means that he won't be hungry and won't be under pressure and desperation to provide for himself. Now, same goes from the other direction, that a person who's wealthy, he is distracted. Now, it says, and this is there's sort of, if you learn the Mishnah precisely, there's sort of a strange grammatical thing here. We talk about we're using a mem prefix, mei osher, and mei oni. Now, the question is, when we say something like, v'chol mevatel es haTorah mei osher, so from wealth. So now, you would have thought the Mishnah would use a base there, in a state of poverty, in a state of wealth. But the mem here, so according to the Tosafot Yom Tov, the mem here is like machmas, it's the cause of. So in other words, a person's wealthy, so that causes him to have complex business affairs. He has to deal with his lawyers and his accountants and his real estate agents, whatever it is, and therefore it causes him to be distracted from Talmud Torah. The other approach is Rabbeinu Yonah's approach, which I think is like the Rambam also, the Parash Mishnayos, which is the mem is like mitoch, from the midst of. In other words, if you can't learn because you are distracted by your wealth, that means not means indirect, it means directly. Because you're rich, so you spend a lot more time on your skiing vacations and you're eating of your three-course meals and you're always eating dessert and whatever it is. So that life of luxury, living that luxurious lifestyle, just means you're putting less time into your keying of the Torah. So then the consequences are going to be that Hashem will pull it away, Rechmana Litzlan. So that's the gist of the Mishnah. There's an obvious basic question, which is, in the real world, we all observe people who are poor and learn Torah or keep Torah, fulfill Torah for a lifetime and are poor to the end. And similarly, we see people who are wealthy Jews, extremely wealthy Jews, who are not keeping the Torah, not learning the Torah, and they die even richer than when they were, before. So what's pshat in the Mishnah? So the answer is, one answer is anyways, that the Mishnayos always are talking in general principles. In other words, while this is true, there could be other factors. So a person, let's say he was good about not letting his poverty get in the way of his Talmud Torah, but maybe Hashem sees that if he became, wealthy, he would lose that, so Hashem's protecting him. Or maybe he has other averos on his plate that make it that he can't be zocheh to both anyways. So there are other things to consider. And similarly, the wealthy person, just because he was remiss in his keeping the Torah, maybe, for example, he's not going to go to Olam Haba, so therefore he has to get schar. Every good deed has to get rewarded. He's not going to Olam Haba, so he has to get a schar in this world. So there's a multiplicity of reasons why this could be happening, and therefore, while maybe it's true in general, there could be lots of exceptions to the rule. There's a different approach altogether in the Mishnah, which is that the wealth and poverty we're talking about here is sort of like a poverty of the mind, or an enrichment of the mind in terms of wisdom. So we're talking here about, a person who starts out struggling will be in the end rich, and a person who in the end, who has lots of resources, mental resources, but doesn't put them to good use, in the end will lose, that mental faculties. So different pshat from the Mishnah, but indeed the general sentiment is indeed that both being rich and being poor presents nisyonos, different nisyonos, and a person should do his very best to overcome those nisyonos, and regardless of who he is, to learn and support and fulfill the Torah. And if not, then a person's situation might change for the worse. And if yes, then Bez Hashem, it will change for the better.